Next one. Now you notice there's these groups of six. The next one's going to be a group of six. So the Buddha Swami groups things according to that numerical number. I'm not suggesting there's any kind of numerical or according to numerology any reason for that. It's just interesting. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. One, being enthusiastic. Two, endeavoring with confidence. Three, being patient. Four, acting according to the regulated principles, such as shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Five, abandoning the association with non-devotees. And six, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. This concept of contrast is sort of also a it's a method of communication, and it's a method that's found in scripture and Bhagavad Gita. Krishna constantly uses it. Goswami here is using it. He's saying, you're going to perish if you do this, but you're going to thrive if you do this. And they're just like one right beside the other. One is that it obviously says, don't do this, but do this. And it gives an alternative, immediately giving an alternative. So he says, complete success of pure devotional service. Enthusiastic. Devotees speak a lot about enthusiasm. You know how important enthusiasm is and how dry Krishna consciousness is. Unless real enthusiasm is there. Where does enthusiasm come from? Again, it will come from offenseless devotional practices. When devotional activity is offensive, then you lose enthusiasm. And when it's free from offense, then you become enthusiastic. And so our effort is to become enthusiastic. Srila Prabhupada also said, well, you just act as if you're enthusiastic. And that's also good. But the real enthusiasm, which is the integral nature of the soul, this ananda, this characteristic of this bliss, or the loving nature of the soul, as we were talking about yesterday, that comes naturally when tinara pisunichina, dora pisunichina, amanina, manadina, kirtanina, shadahari. So constantly chant. You can only chant constantly if you're enthusiastic. You can't chant constantly if you're not enthusiastic. So constant enthusiasm, constant chanting, how does it come? These four things. And actually these four things translate into being humble. So the other side is, if you're not humble, you can't really be enthusiastic. You can be aggressive. That's a different thing than being enthusiastic. The symptom of enthusiasm is you can just sit down and you can just chant japa for all day long without moving because you're enthusiastic for chanting Hare Krishna. Enthusiastic doesn't necessarily measure in how many feet off the ground you jump. So enthusiasm means, and he'll explain later on, ruchi, how much taste you have. And that taste is what actually gives you the enthusiasm for any activity of Krishna consciousness, whether it's polishing the silver, or it's cleaning the floor, or it's cooking, or it's chanting japa, or any other devotional service. A devotee who is really fixed in being a servant, because he's humble, then can kirtani and sadhavari, then he can chant constantly. Endeavoring with confidence. So endeavoring confidence means shraddha, adil shraddha, so faith. Confidence is another word for faith, generally. It's used in Shastra, same word, shraddha. So you're confident, you have faith in the process, you have faith in the words of Shastra, you have faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, and what Krishna says, have faith in Guru, and you endeavor that whatever I'm perceiving, what I'm experiencing, whatever is not coming and whatever is coming, and sometimes it's more not coming than coming, but still I have faith that if I actually follow the process properly, I will get the result. So therefore one continues to endeavor with that confidence. Once again, that type of confidence, and to continue endeavoring like that is dritavrata, requires determination. And again, that type of determination will come by actually strict adherence to the principles. Being patient. But it takes time. We live in an instant world, instant generation, everything happens yesterday, and we expect immediate results. By comparison to what we're trying to do, one lifetime is an immediate result. You want to wash away the results of, who knows, 10 million births, or maybe 10 million creations, just like that. So one life is a relatively short period of time. But you have to be patient. At least you have to put in that one life's effort. This was what we were citing Srila Prabhupada yesterday. So yes, we need to be patient, and this patience and confidence go together, and acting according to the regulated principles. So regulated principles means four regulated principles, and that here Srila Prabhupada is actually quoting Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Swaram Parasayam, the Navaranga Bhakti, the nine limbs of devotional service. Abandoning the association of non-devotees, repetition of what was already there previously, and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So that devotional service is not something that's subject to speculation, it's not something that we have to reinvent, it's already there. Guru Padashraya, Rupa Goswami, things like that. And then Sadhu, Bhatman, Brahma. First instruction is you take shelter of the spiritual master, and then you follow the example of the acharyas. How is devotional service meant to be practiced? Everyone's been practicing it for so long, we don't need to dream up of a new process. It's all there. We need to simply follow. So here, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Walk in their footsteps, and you get to where you're supposed to go. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. And we'll do the last one, and then the devotees have questions. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad of the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So, first we had six things to avoid. Then we had six things to actually embrace, activities that should be embraced. And then actually here are six things, but it's one thing. It's associating with devotees and the six ways of associating with Vaishnavas. So Rupa Goswami, in his 11 verses, he places this emphasis on sadhu sangha. In fact, verse 5 is about association with devotees. Verse 6 is about association with devotees. And verse 7 is about chanting Hare Krishna. So he introduces the basic principle that he says, what you don't do, what you do, in verse 3, and then 4, 5, 6, he's talking about devotees, about Vaishnava. Because sadhusanga is such an important thing. And then chant Hare Krishna. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, acquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Sadhvidhi Priti Lakshana. It was interesting yesterday's Bhagavad Gita, which was also about Priti. So, love for Krishna. Krishna was saying that, how does the verse begin? Yesterday's verse. Tesham Satkaritanam Bhajatam Priti Purvaka. Worship me with Priti, with love. What does love mean? And we're talking that it's there. The fear is, how is Priti Lakshana? You cultivate it amongst Vaishnavas. It's here. You offer devotees charity. You accept charitable gifts. It's traditional. Devotees, and not devotees, just even non-devotees. Although I didn't find it so much in Western culture. I know, for instance, when I was living hungry before my parents went to Canada, wherever they were, whenever they would go anywhere, you always take something with you, isn't it? You take some, you buy a box of chocolates, for the family, you buy a bunch of flowers, or you take some kind of gift, and then they would always continue. I never saw, even afterwards when we went to Canada, I never saw my parents go out to any function, go to any person's home or anything without taking something. You always take something. And then similarly, other guests or people who would come, they would always bring things. And they would always bring, I was there to bring, you bring the son something or you bring the child something, because that satisfies the whole family, or if it's someone's birthday or something, then you bring them some flowers. If it's Mother's Day or it's Father's Day, some kind of gift. So it's a natural thing. It's a natural cultural practice. When I joined Krishna consciousness, it doesn't happen so much like that now. But here are these things. You had to bring, every time you came to the temple room, you had to bring something for the devis. So every guest and every devotee had to bring something for the devis. And some type of offering, whether it's a flower, so we would, when we came back from Sankirtan, obviously aside from just a Sankirtan, which was also meant for this, we'd always get some flowers, pick some flowers from someone's garden on the way back, and when you come into the day, then you offer a flower. Or you just buy something, some other flower, the OUR flower, at a shop, and you bring something like that, or some sugar, or something. You see that. The Indian community, they still sort of have semblance of that obligation, that you don't go empty-handed to the temple. Similarly, you don't go empty-handed to a friend, you don't go empty-handed to a beloved person, you don't go empty-handed to a Vaishnava, you never go empty-handed to a guru. You always come with an offering. Because just the association of Vaishnavas in itself is a gift. Akshino Palakhadishamhi. So Shastra says the perfection of the eyes is to see a Vaishnava. So already we're becoming purified. Therefore, it's the natural obligation that Vaishnavas always want to give. If that priti is really coming, as we said yesterday, if love comes in the heart, so the natural affection, the natural symptom of love is that a person is very affectionate. And when persons are affectionate, they want to give. That you see, for instance, in the world, in the relationship between parents and children, and Prabhupada particularly singled out the mother as being even generally more affectionate than the father, is that mother has, and there's a reason for that, because she goes through a lot more suffering than the father to bring the children into the world, so that the attachment is strong. The sense of possessiveness is very, very stronger. And, it was 2 years ago, and Govinda Maharaj and I, when I went to Canada, and my cousin organized this birthday party for me. I think it was our 60th year birthday party. And because we're both, he's 3 days younger than me, so we had the same time, his place, and I was in Vrindavan, and went there. I told him, you know, you're inviting a whole bunch of friends, you've got to invite some of my friends. He said, okay. I said, so Govinda Maharaj is here, so you have to buy his ticket as well. So he did. He found a business class ticket back and forth. And then my mother has they're sort of on regular speaking terms with Govinda Maharaj, not so regular, but they communicate. And then Govinda Maharaj was in one room, I was in the other, and he was talking to my mother. And they were on the loudspeaker, and my mother was saying, she said, you take care of my son. She said, don't worry, I'll take care of him. He said, you don't have to worry. He says, Govinda, that's what she calls him, Govinda. He said, you don't understand. You don't understand, mother. It doesn't matter how old child is, she always worries. Isn't it? That's the Dharma. That's the mother's Dharma. So when love is there, when affection is there, then there's real care. And the natural symptom of love is to give, is to want to give. So how do you show that giving? You show that giving by giving some kind of gifts, and that's what this is about. And not only do you give, but obviously if someone's giving, they may end up giving to you as well, so you have to take. So, the dati, particularly dati, giving gifts in charity and accepting charitable gifts. And then, guyamakyati jitchati, revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially. This has different aspects. It may start with revealing one's mind, which means that one's revealing the problems on my mind, on one's mind. Hopefully, that's not where it stops, because that's not what Krishna consciousness is all about, is eternally revealing one's problems. So problems are meant to have an end at a certain point, and then one should be revealing one's mind in terms of the good things that are happening in Krishna consciousness. But that should also be done confidentially. That's also not something that you, in other words, you don't stand up in Bhagavatam class and start talking about your personal problems, neither do you stand up and talk about your personal spiritual experiences. So they're all meant to be confidential. Guyam. Guyam means hidden. Confidentially, you speak to friends, you speak to confidential superiors, spiritual masters, which also means keeping confidence, which is sometimes a problem. People don't keep confidence. They won't keep confidence when someone reveals some problem or difficulty, or they don't keep confidence about other things as well. And then inquiring confidentially. That's all of the Upanishads are all about talking. It's always the disciple coming to the guru and inquiring about some aspect of spiritual life, confidential inquiry. How do I overcome the cycle of repeated birth and death? Who is the invisible controller that moves everything? What is it in this body that is conscious and aware of everything? So inquiring confidentially. accepting prasad and offering prasad. This is really unique, or not unique, but very characteristic of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind. Although, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he points out how Lord Chaitanya accepts two principles, two main teachings of all the four sampradayas. And if I remember right, this principle of respecting prasadam comes from Manduni Sampradaya. There's this one film on Madhavacharya and one film on Manduni. I don't know if you've seen it. But they're interesting. These are old Indian films. They're really old. It's amazing when you see these movies. And they have this scenery, and you would never believe it was India. It's clean. It's pristine. It's like a whole different world than to what we've seen in India. Really beautiful. And I get to figure out, although I suspect that it happens, you see when they sit down, and questioners sit down, and they're served, and they eat, and then they always sprinkle water around, and then first they take three pieces. They take it, and it seems to me like they take it like this is an offering to Krishna. In other words, they're taking it as an offering in a certain type of, well, when you see it visually, it has a different, it has a certain effect. And after, then they start eating prasad like you normally eat prasad. But here, it's like ashma almost. They take three pieces of prasad. So, there's many things that you can give. You can give so many different types of gifts. But the most natural thing is to invite Vaishnavas to one's home, and that's still one of the few real living traditions that exist. Once again, it's something that karmis do. Come over to my house for supper. Come over for lunch. That's what the people do when they come over. Unfortunately, sometimes they come over for a beer and just sit and watch TV or watch the football game. But that type of thing aside, in more civilized company, then people would invite others over. Yes, come over to eat. Why? Because eating is just such a natural, it's in one sense the most social activity. I mean, aside from dancing and chanting, it's such a social interaction where there's offering of affection by those who've cooked. There's a serving of food. There's a special atmosphere that comes. People are really open and relaxed when they're sitting and eating. They're really sort of disarmed at that point. And it's a really wonderful way of showing love. The soul does not need to eat. Your body needs to eat. The soul doesn't need to eat. And yet, in the spiritual world, they are eating, and they're eating constantly. When Krishna rises in the morning, the first thing he does is get up, his mother just sort of sticks different types of sweets and so on in his mouth. And then he has breakfast, and he has a midday snack, and he has an afternoon snack, and we've got other snacks in between. And then he has supper, and then he eats before he goes to sleep. And why eating? It's not that the soul doesn't need it, but it's such a exchange of love. It's such a Krishna invented it. It's such a wonderful exchange, a way of actually loving exchange that they're constantly doing it, constantly doing it. And that's how Mother Yashoda is absorbed, obsessed with showing her affection. For Krishna, by ensuring that he's constantly eating, because that's what mothers do with children. They just like constantly feed them, and as long as they're eating, then it's okay. And Krishna also accepts that prasad. So both of these things, Dadiri Priti Lakshana. And it's our Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. was the term Hare Krishna, that they was the first to come together, generally, although japa is, you don't always dance when you do japa, and then taking prasadam, putting it, well, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they're also chanting Hare Krishna when they're eating. These are, it's one of our spiritual activities, and particularly it's extremely important, not just we're talking about now food or eating, but we're talking about prasadam. Because this prasadam helps us really to to conquer the urges of the tongue, to actually purify our bodies, to free our bodies and senses from all the dust that's there. To free us from all the lustes that, literally speaking, our body becomes prasadam, which means all of these unwanted things get sort of pushed out, get replaced. Anyway, let's stop. And let's see if anyone has any questions or comments on these verses. Obviously, there's a lot to say. I've already said enough or too much. I'm just 18 minutes, seconds shy of an hour. Hare Krishna.